What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
You know, I did start investing in the stock market a little bit.
What?
Oh, snap. You get a lot of money? You like trading?
No, right now, I'm down. Right now, I'm down.
Okay, overall. All right. Okay. You can come back.
Not that much. And most of it is down because of Google. So Google's about to do a split, meaning if you buy one of their stock, and their stock costs almost $3,000. But if you buy one of their stocks in July, if they split it like they're expected to, then you'll have 20 instead of one. Anyway.
Are you doing like day trading as well?
Not exactly. I've been just looking at stuff. I bought a few things. My dad was really into this penny stock that was down for a long time. It's finally up a little bit. I did do this. I did start doing this thing where I bought a Google stock and then I sold it at a higher price. And then I waited for it to go back down a little bit. And then I bought it again. And then I was told like, well, that's it now. If you do that again within the year, then it'll act as if when you sell it, like the wholesale is what you gained, as opposed to just the difference between when you bought it and when you sold it. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Because there's like some wash rule or something.
That stuff, like one of my friends, she is now very big into day trading and stuff. So anytime I see her, like, you know, she's a wardrobe stylist. So she'd be in like the wardrobe room, just like doing stocks. And it's like, it's crazy. Cause I was like, yo, how, I think I asked her yesterday, as a matter of fact, like, how do you do on this? And she goes, I try to at least end every day making 5K or more a day. So I don't know if she actually sells it, but like,
if she's trying to make that much a day, that means she's definitely losing a lot on some days.
I think she is definitely, but she's like, yo, I've had a profitable day. But anytime I see her, it's like nonstop. I'm like, I don't think I can invest in something this much.
Right. She's like essentially doing another job. Like she's doing two jobs.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And that job is gambling. Because that's straight gambling to be trading that much money every day. That's like you're risking a lot of money, and you can lose a lot of money that way. Easy.
Every day.
As opposed to like buying, like checking it a couple times and then buying something and then selling it and then looking up some new stocks and checking and waiting a couple days or whatever. And yeah, like the profits that I made on stuff are like, you know, tens of dollars or hundred, you know, a couple hundred, not thousands. I don't have that much in yet. I'm too scared.
I mean, I am too. I have a lot of friends who are doing this now. Like, you and my friends back home are really big into like trading, but also they're on their laptops all day, but even they have the apps on the phone. I'm like, this is an investment. I mean, again, it's just like, this is so time consuming. I'm like, is it even fun? But I feel like people get a rush when they make a lot of money. Like one of my boys, like he made 20K off of a thing. And I was like, I don't know what this means. He was hella excited. I was like, great.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, it's like literally like playing slot machine. And if you win, like it's a huge rush. And when you lose, there's that huge pit in your stomach. That's like, what did I just do? You know?
Yeah. I remember watching like, this is not good, but I used to watch Belafonte. What is his name? The dude that Wolf of Wall Street was about.
Oh, wow.
He has videos on YouTube just talking about like the stock market and how like, you know, the everyday Joe was getting ripped off and how you got to like blah, 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 blah. Because he made a lot of money. All his monies, I think, were penny stocks that he like was it he like lied about and kind of like finagled the whole system. So I'm down for that. Listen, look, because isn't sports gambling? I know it's not investments, but now that's legal. Like, you can sports gamble on wrestling, which is fake.
And it makes sense.
How crazy is that?
Wait, you can sports gamble on WWE?
Yeah, so I think it's a little different. So one of my boys did it for WrestleMania. I think it's like...
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Those are literally fixed.
But
I think,
that doesn't make any sense. But I don't think... But I guess the average person doesn't know, so it's like...
That's like betting on like what the finale of a television show is going to be. You know what I mean? It's like already scripted and there are people who know. I don't even know how you would be able to do that.
Dude, Lily, he broke down what it is. It's like, yeah, you can look at like who is in and then like who you think is going to go out first or second or third and like what kind of, I think it was even what kind of move certain things ended on. But when people talk about that, I glaze over.
Then you would have to just make sure that whoever is... like running
doesn't have inside knowledge.
Yeah, that would be the one thing you would have to do in order for that to work.
Yeah,
that feels so crazy.
I don't know how you do that without the associate.
What do you mean? What's the associate? Like, are you saying like a associate? Because it's not the associate.
I'm just saying like it feels like a lot of work. It feels like a lot of work. You know what I mean? To cross reference who's who, and it's like, what, you're gonna do that without the associate?
Like you say, you're saying the associate.
There's one person.
I feel like it's multiple associates.
Well, we're talking about wrestling, you know. You got huge stars in wrestling, you know. And Vince McMahon himself is also a star. But there's no way he's running a gambling ring with WWE without the associate.
Again, you're saying the associate like it's like one person, but I feel like that's not how it works.
I'm both so upset and also find this very funny that there's
like, is a wrestler named the associate in your world?
Yeah, his finishing move is tax deductible.
That's okay. The name of the move?
the name of the move is tax deductible. And what he...
I was just going to say the name does, of his... I was going to say the name of his finisher
takes
was...
out...
You know what? I'm on board with this.
What?
Can he have another move called the Dale Drop? The Dow Drop? So, like, basically...
The Dow Drop, yeah.
The Dow Drop is what he does when he's trying to put somebody out of commission. It's almost like a Stone Cold Stunner, and he just, like, drops you to the ground. Like, grabs your head and, like...
Right.
Hits you with the Dow Drop.
I mean, the best is when you see him do tax deductible into a Dow Drop.
Yeah,
you
I know. Like that. And then
I'm just saying, if you're going to run some gambling.
No, I feel you, Bray. And you know to me, it's like he can do the double down. Okay. And that's just a double elbow drop.
I don't like how y'all fully beating this out. Like we got all the beats.
From the top ropes. That's a double elbow drop from the top ropes. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you gambling, right, baby, you got to double down. You know? Come on down.
Yeah, we probably should start the show.
No, I'm still in it. Nah, you got me on board. All those years, I'm here. Like, nah. Can we
do Oh no! It's the associate!
See?
Here he comes!
Can we do the ring the bell?
He's cleared the ring! Oh no! He's gonna audit you! Doesn't make any sense.
See, you forgot your victory, not your victory, but your future job should be an announcer, you know what I mean? You'd be great.
Yeah. All right. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is. Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Baby, if I was premenstrual, you'd be dead.
I like that line. That was a good one.
It's a good one.
I know. It was pretty
a good one. For those of you who are listening to us for the first time, this voice that sounds like a well-knowledge Wall Street broker who will make you millions, that voice is Jonathan Braylock.
What? Millions?
I feel like I wouldn't trust. See, I feel like what? I wouldn't trust that.
Million.
Person.
You sound like the...
Notice I didn't say billions. I said millions. I was being realistic because I can't deliver.
You sound like the dude that comes on late at night when you're trying to get some old person to bow for QVC, okay? That's what you sound like. That's a money losing voice. That's a money swindling voice. This trustful voice is that of Gerard Milligan that is going to tell y'all I can't get y'all no money.
Nah, that's a voice of a hater.
And this voice that's probably destitute, you know, probably made a lot of wrong decisions. This voice is James the Third.
Yeah, that's right. We are a film review pie.
How dare you?
I was complimenting you on your description of your voice. Yeah, good job. We are a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. Today, we are reviewing The Associate, a 1996 comedy film starring Whoopi Goldberg and Diane Weiss. Yeah, nobody. Who are these other people? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
B.B. Newworth. B.B. Newworth is in the movie. Tim Daly. They got some people in the movie. It's
why'd you say Tim Daly? Like, who's Tim Daly?
Wings, baby. Wings.
All right. I didn't watch Wings either. That's television.
You know what? Wings used to come on USA late at night. And I was like, this is cool.
I was watching it. That was actually the thought I had while watching it. I was like, man, Tim Daly should have been in more stuff. Like, my thought was just like, why wasn't this dude in every movie?
What you should have said, James, was this Tia Leone's husband. That's Tia Leone's husband. Okay. See how Brave reacted? We know who Tia Leone is.
Did they get married?
Yeah, it says 2014 till now.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, all
Look
right.
At that. So this film is it's about an investment banker, Whoopi Goldberg, who is really good at her job. But of course, she works in a very sexist and racist Wall Street industry and therefore decides to quit her job and start her own company. But that doesn't become a success until she invents a fake old white man as a partner. And then everybody starts listening to her.
That makes sense to me.
There you go. I mean, it's a pretty. It does. I mean, it's a very.
True. This the most accurate film ever made. Like this, I know it's fiction, but
I mean, honestly, I mean, this is the ultimate code switch. What is it? Thurgood Marshall had a white dude, had a white guy who had to like speak for him because the white folks won't let him speak. Shit.
Yeah.
I love James Carr, but I tell James Carr all the time, it's like, I make sure I show up with you because you're a white dude. You make people feel comfortable.
Anywho, this film only made $12 million.
Damn.
Racism.
Racism.
It's got a 28% Rotten Tomato.
Racism.
53% audience score.
Racism.
There's some sexism happening too, though.
Oh, well. It's super sexist.
Yeah, yeah.
But hella racist. You know what? You're right. I take back two of those racisms. I'm going to add. The first one's still racism, Bray. All right, about the overall...
The score, the rating, score. The overall rating.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I'm going to say the amount of money it made is sexism and racism tied because she's a woman, it was the 90s, and she a black woman, and she got locks. So you know they hella racist.
The other thing that's weird is that, well, I mean, Whoopi Goldberg is a bankable star at this point, but this wasn't a Walt Disney picture. She must have had an overall with Walt Disney.
Oh,
it's not a Walt. You know what I mean? It's one of those movies where it's like they forced it through their studio system that doesn't do movies like this. So like it's like they don't know how to promote it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much it costs. It probably costs a lot more than $12 million. I bet not a lot more, but it probably costs more.
This gives one racism, one sexism, and then a tie for both. That's my initial thoughts.
All right. Yep. There it is.
I will.
There
it is. Okay. That's your initial thoughts. Yeah. Let's do initial thoughts.
That's your initial thoughts?
Nah. That's based on what James said. I'll go first. I did enjoy this movie. Towards the end, I thought it got a little wonky. Yeah. I thought it got a little like hijinky just a little bit at the end. But I thoroughly thought the idea behind this was like really cool. I think what made me really sad, this was in 1996. It was 20 some years old. And I do think you kind of still need that now. Like, you know, we've joked about it. We all do the white man voice. You know what I mean? I definitely won't answer the phone like that if it's business. Cause I feel like you're taking more serious. You know, I might change my name to Chauncey. I gotta make a call or two, you know, let people know. Maybe Chad. Let them feel comfortable. Also, you know what, man? Whoopi was fly as hell in this movie to me, which I really like because I feel like even though her character definitely didn't want to be like a sex symbol or something like that, like which I understand, but it was something very cool and powerful and sexy about Whoopi Goldberg, and I thought it was like very nice to see that side of her. So yeah, I rocked with it. Like, do I need to see it again? Probably not, but I'm happy to exist and I'm happy they tried to do this in 1996. Wait, It felt, you know what it is? It felt like there were a couple of nuances gone, so I assumed the white dude directed it. I'm not sure about that, but let me look.
Pretty good guess.
Yep, white man. What? Yep. But yeah, you know, the dude who did Richie Rich and Mystic Pizza. That's the guy you want to direct the movie about. Wait, is it the dad from Richie Rich?
No.
Wait. Oh, shit. Anyway. That's it for me.
When this premiered opening weekend, the number one movie was Sleepers.
Braylock, what is that?
Which I've never heard of.
What is that?
Apparently, it's a movie with Kevin Bacon and Robert De Niro about a prank that goes wrong. A group of boys are sent to a detention center where they are brutalized. 13 years later, an unexpected random encounter with a former guard gives them a chance for revenge.
Oh, this movie's tough. It's a tough one.
What's it called? The Sleeper?
That sounds tough.
Sleepers.
Yeah, Sleepers. Number two was High School High. That also debuted that weekend.
Damn!
I do find that movie funny. The other movie that debuted that weekend was Thinner. I saw that movie, too. That's like that Stephen King.
That wow, movie gave me nightmares. The trailer alone, because I didn't understand how that big dude went so skinny, and it freaked me out. I had nightmares about that movie, like legit.
Yeah. I always thought that was a TV movie, but that was scary. And then, but here's the other thing. First Wives Club was number five, and that had been out for 6 weeks. And that's about a bunch of women, all white. So, Jirai, I think this was mostly racist.
Thank you.
What a good movie.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work. Up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine. Enjoy Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with, when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else. Like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, no, this movie is, you know, it wasn't a bad watch. It was enjoyable. It felt, I was like, man, this movie was made in 1996? the person who suggested it to us thought it was made early because they said they compared it to another movie with a white lead. They were like, it's like this movie, but before that, but it wasn't. This movie came after. I don't know what to say. Whoopi Goldberg's fun.
You ain't like it though. That's what the problem. You ain't get his.
I did not like it. It's so funny. It's just like, you know what it is? It's so hard with these films because it's like, I like the message of the movie, and it's like, and the premise makes a lot of sense, you know? And white people have been doing these kind of premises of like, but like, you know, Soul Man came out early, like in the eight, you know, it's like affirmative action, you know? So it's like this whole like kind of like getting one up on people to like, you know, because they won't let you in because of your race or your gender, you know? So that makes sense. I feel like it could have been more fun. I feel like there wasn't enough comedy in it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
And I think part of that was because there was like, we spent a lot of time with like old, boring white dudes.
Ooh.
And I get it because it has to be it, kind of. But it's like...
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
You know?
I hadn't seen this movie before. But when I said that we were watching it, Kat immediately goes, white gloves? The white gloves? Like, she like remembered that very strongly. And then, like, pieces of things came back. So she I think, saw this movie in theaters with her mom or something like that. So she remembers that from... I liked it. I liked it. I agree that it got hijinky towards the end. But it's so funny, Gerard, because right before... She's like in prison, you know, before they put her in prison and like then they let her out and all of that stuff that happened there. Right before that, I thought, wow, for as slapstick this part is, everything that's come before the movie makes this part make sense. Because it's sort of slapsticky when it first starts happening. It's almost out of nowhere for how not joke. You know, hard comedy the movie.
That right, exactly.
It's like, yeah. It's like almost out of nowhere, but like everything, you know, that they set up before then, like, makes this make sense. Like, they would certainly be chasing this man all over the hotel because he's now the most sought after person, you know. And then I think shortly after that is when it really starts going, you know, with the like trying to kill him and all of that stuff. I couldn't believe that the last shot of this movie was Diane Wiest. Like, I know that there's a post-credits thing with Whoopi just like kind of laughing, but the last image of the movie is Diane Wiest, and I was just like, what? Like, after everything we went through with Whoopi, the movie cuts to credits on Diane Wiest. Like, I just couldn't believe that. And like, and I
you're right, that is kind of bizarre.
I get that, like, you know, I liked the journey that character had, you know, but it felt so weird.
Yeah.
To end that way, you know, like, it felt so weird.
Yeah, like, include that scene, but you don't need to end on it.
But I liked it. Well, let's get into it, I guess.
Was this movie hijacked by white people? Because I only liked it because, you know, Whoopi, like, I thought she was dealing with some real shit. But again, it was a lot of white isms that I think we've come to learn when a white man directs a movie about black people, whereas like this definitely, I think Diane, like, she's not a white savior, but she might have been magical, which is might have been a first. Like, she might have been magical.
She was the magical white person.
Interesting.
Like, she showed up at one point, just here to help, and I was like, where the hell does white lady come?
Yeah, it was like Whoopi's ready to stop, and then for no reason at all, Diane starts answering her phones and making calls for her on her behalf. Like, she is the magical white lady.
And then, like, put her in a position to do well. Anyway, let's get there. But you know what? Hey.
Wait.
I may take back my initial thoughts.
Hold on.
Uh-oh, Bray, what you find out?
It looks like this movie might have been based off a novel.
Yes.
Gennaro Prieto.
Yeah.
Oh. And a French film. Because they have they have Jean-Claude Carrière. And all Renee right. Gainville.
All right, some nigga went to class.
Screenplay for La Associée. And that seems like French. And that means that would have been a French film, right?
Yeah. Wait.
Yeah.
Who was the person black in the book or the film? Do you know?
Let's see. There was a movie called The Associate made in 1979. An unemployed investor creates a fictitious business partner to attempt to improve business. Eventually, his creation gets out of control as his business becomes successful and his wife announces that she is in love with the partner, and his son wishes the partner was his father, although no one has ever seen him. And to regain his control, the man tries to
kill. It was also a TV series in 1968.
Was that person black?
So no, this looks like originally this, or at least this film that adapted the novel, was just about class, not race or sex or gender. I mean, it looks like it's a Spanish novel. That novel was first published in 1928.
Wow.
So this film, The Associate, 1996, it starts with Whoopi Goldberg. What do we see first? I mean, it's like New York City, and then she's there and she's like in a meeting, right? And one guy's not paying attention.
The white dude who she trained are like
Frank.
Yeah, in a meeting. And then like, I may be skipping all the scenes together, but it happens so quickly. They're in a meeting. They got some big pitch they got to do. And then they go to like
he's not paying attention or whatever.
Yeah, but then they gotta like get this guy to like sign or some shit. So they go to like a strip club.
But before they go to the strip club, he does say, just a plot thing, he does say that like she's next in line to be the VP or whatever the promotion is. And we also see this dude that Tim Daly plays like being really gross with all of the women, but Diane Weiss, like he keeps calling her like babe or whatever, you know, and he keeps like patting her and touching her in ways she doesn't want to be touched and stuff like that.
Yeah, they go to a strip club, which felt random.
I think that may have been a thing.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it was a thing.
I'm about to say, I feel like I've seen like movies and it's always like, I mean, old movies, I guess around this time, they're like, let's go to a strip club. What was interesting to me though, before we even get to that point, is that I feel like they had a couple of shots where they showed the not law firm, the investment firm or whatever. And not only was Whoopi like one of the only women, I think, like at a desk versus not a desk, but when an office or whatever, or a cube or whatever they were in versus an assistant, she might have been the only black person.
I think that's true.
And I was like, oh.
And to be clear, she is the only black person with a speaking role in this film. Any other black person that they show is in some service role.
Yeah.
And they all in one scene and all they do is clap.
There's that one actor who has a handful of lines. He's still in a service role, but he has a handful of lines.
Oh, the comedian. Yeah. He's the bellhop.
Yeah.
Oh, he was on The Wire.
Yes.
You know what's so funny? Braylock has got me watching a fantastic show. It took 3 years, but I started watching Succession. And every time I watch Succession, because I'm only bringing this up because this movie deals with like rich ass white folks in New York. And like when I watch Succession, I'm always like, man, there's got to be a black person. And finally, one showed up in season 3. And all she did was she was a smart lawyer to like the other black people. And I'm like, God damn it, man.
Sanaa Lathan.
Yes. And it was Sanaa. I was like, yo, you didn't even have to put this famous black woman in this part. But it's just something so interesting about not seeing black folk there.
Lawrence Gillard Jr. Thank you, Melissa.
Yeah, that's what it is.
He was in a bunch of stuff.
He's in everything.
Yeah. Yo, man, every time I watch one of those movies, I started watching The Sopranos and they said the N-word with the ER and I cut that shit off. I was like, I can't take these. I can't take these. I got to hear I was an immigrant movie and y'all calling me an ER word casually.
Dude, we started watching The Sopranos during the pandemic and then George Floyd was murdered by police and I was like, I can't watch the show anymore.
Like it's like, low-key.
I literally just can't watch the show anymore. And people are like, you know, people call it the best television show of all time.
It's so racist. Like it's like, it was like episode 3. It was like blatantly racist. Like, and then.
I think it gets more racist.
I can't, dog. Like I was like, I'm never going to get past this.
Because more racist characters enter.
Dog, no. Anyway. No.
And there's nobody to like check them or nothing. They just blatantly racist.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like they're, you know, you're supposed to understand that they're bad people, but you do. I think even more than Succession, you are supposed to empathize with them, you know, because they're the protagonists, you know, so you do care about them. And so at a certain point, you're just like, I don't want to care about this person. Yeah. You know? Whereas, like, with Succession, I actually don't care about any of them.
Same, yes.
Like, it's all interesting, but it's kind of like, I want to see them all. I don't want anybody to succeed. I want them all to fail. And so anytime they, like, snipe each other, it's entertaining.
Yeah. And that's kind of what they were going for with this. Like, with that dude, Tim Daly, it was like him and his boss were trash. So I kind of didn't like either one of them. And I was like, okay, this is cool. But it was something about Diane. I know she was helpful, y'all, but we got to break it. We keep talking about her character, but something about her character I didn't like because it was very like, you know what? Okay, we can get to it because actually this is one of the scenes. Okay, after the strip club, you know, Whoopi, like, I want to close the deal tonight, blah, blah, blah. She's next up in line. Then they have to go somewhere. And then Diane is like walking her down the street. And Diane does the white woman tears thing of like, I don't like the way you look at me. I can take the white man looking at me like that. But when you do it, it's like I didn't take off or some shit like that. And I'm like, man, stop your fucking tears. And then you tried to say affirmative action didn't help you. Fuck out of here. Affirmative action helped you. Okay? It helped you. Like, not you. Not you, Bray, but like the you of her type.
But Whoopi had honestly such a great line. Because she says affirmative action didn't help me, and Whoopi just goes, "Yeah, I wasn't supposed to." I just thought that was a great line. It was like, "Yeah, you're right, and it's not supposed to. Like, you don't need the help."
See,
woman.
See, anyway. But Bray, if this movie was written by a black woman or even a black man, it would have been like it wasn't supposed to. But you know who get most of the fucking jobs through affirmative action? People who look like you. So you know what? Fuck out of here. That's what she should have said if she's a real New Yorker. Fuck out of my face.
Well, to that same end, there's. I feel like the way that this movie specifically deals with race is weird because the movie almost doesn't want to talk about race. Like,
rarely does, yeah.
The person who it rarely does. And then there's like that point later after like the reveal that Cuddy is made up when Diane Wiest says, you know, she says, you had to invent a white, like a straight white. But like she's the one who spells it out, like and but it was not spelled out before. They barely refer to Whoopi as black, or Whoopi barely refers to herself as a black woman in this world, you know, like and so I think exactly that like the movie that is a cool rebuttal to that. It's not supposed to help you, but the movie only like kind of had like just a couple nods to it, you know. Even at the end, they're like. Your first, they're like, you have inducted your first woman member, but she didn't say like your first, you know what I mean? She didn't even say
and
your first black.
Because they were all white.
Yeah.
They were all white.
Well, yeah. All these black dudes serving.
Though she did in her speech, she did say people who might be serving you. And it was, so that was like a nod to the fact that it was also black people.
Yeah. And then they show all the black people serving. Yeah. Yeah. And she takes off the white gloves to show, you know what I mean? Like there is, that is supposed to show that stark difference.
It wasn't a complete erasure because of the Diane Weiss moment. And there was like a couple of, like it's very, very sprinkled in.
She, during that moment at the end, y'all, when she's saying that, is like the people who are cheering her on and the inside are black people, right? Who are serving. The people who are outside the room under a little like, rope and stanchion who are like waiting to burst through the line are a fleet of white women. Ain't one black woman in there. Ain't one Latina woman in there. Ain't one indigenous woman in there. You know what it is? A bunch of different haired white women. That's who was in there cheering her on like, yeah, you did it for us.
They did have different hair though. And that's representation.
Literally at one point, I'm thinking she gonna say, you got your first black and first female member. Literally, the black dude's in here. The nigga does a slow clap. I'm like, he crying.
I gotta say, it also made no sense that the entire room erupted in applause. The entire room?
I love that we just went to the end of
the movie. Sorry. What? The whole room applauded? It don't make no damn sense. Everybody? And then they cut to Tim Daly. He does like the half clap, and there's one guy looking at Tim like, "Don't you dare clap!" And it was like, "What do you mean? No one's clap. There might be two other white people might stand up and clap. No one else is clap."
What were they clapping for?
Because and also they groaned when they even saw it was a woman. I'm like, it don't because this one black dude who served you coffee is clapping you. Then
this black dude's up here with a single Denzel tear, and like he starts to clap, and then they take her outside, and the people who greet her are this old white dude with the glasses, and then Diane and a bunch of white women. Then none of them shed no tear, and I gotta watch Whoopi Goldberg walk off in the fog with Diane.
Well, they were clapping. They were like, "Yeah, you go, girl."
Yeah, they were support.
They ain't had no tear. My thing is that black dude was crying. Those black people were crying for her. Like
they
black
knew
woman,
she was
gonna
do
it.
That. They already knew. They didn't have tears because they weren't surprised. They were just like, "You did it, girl."
But this is what I'm saying. What I mean? They cared so much because this black woman achieves this, and they're in here serving these white ladies. Like, cool. We about to be in. Literally, this movie erased the blackness of Whoopi Goldberg. And hear me out. It's because you had this black woman, and the whole time we gotta talk about the white dude, Diane. Gives her a speech about her womanness and Whoopi checks her, but then Diane still feels all like, let me show you something. Why didn't I get that promotion? So she kind of has a peg up. Then she comes in magically and helps Whoopi out. And that technically the meeting she answered is the one that got Whoopi.
Wait, you're mad for you're mad that there's a magical white woman?
I wanted Whoopi to get it done herself because she went to school for it. She was great.
Well, she did. Wait, but she... Drop. She did.
Wait, no, Bray. Stop. It's not enough. This is the equivalent.
A movie.
What's that dude from Yellowstone? The cowboy. What's the cowboy
name,
Bray?
The main...
No, Bray. What's the cowboy? What's the cowboy? This is Kevin Costner knocking down the colored only
There's
bathroom.
Not a single film that has the protagonist just do everything themselves and not have help by someone. That's a boring story.
Whoopi needed to have the idea, and she like, oh, I can help.
She did. Well, I will say, I do get what you're saying, Jerah, because she does come in and just starts helping out of nowhere. Like, I almost would have thought that she would have, I mean, it's to give her that thing of feeling like, I'm not succeeding, I didn't do it, you know, so she can have that moment of like, no, you can do this. So I get why it happened, but.
Yeah, and Whoopi inspired her character.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Inspired it because of what she was doing, inspired her. But they do have that moment later when Diane even says it. She's like, I knew that Cuddy was fake because all of the ideas were you. Like, you did everything. You know, she does, like, make sure everybody knows that, like, the brain... Like, there were almost no ideas coming from Diane. It was all coming from...
Yeah, and Whoopi's the one who comes up with the idea to make the fake white person.
No, you're right. I didn't like her coming up with the meeting, and then Whoopi came back, thank you so much. But like, you know what? Listen, yes, Whoopi did do a lot. But also, I'm like, we'll be buying this lady gifts and shit. I'm like, man, she getting paid. She getting paid more than she ever got paid. I got to buy her gifts.
She was doing that to keep up the facade.
Oh, that's right. Because it was
the illusion.
You're right. Okay.
Because it was the white man buying her gifts.
You're right.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
It's just so light on the comedy because it's real. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like you kind of care and you do really care about Whoopi and her character, you know, and you want her to succeed. And she's like, she gets passed up on this promotion. The guy basically backstabs her, like tells her to go home and then closes the deal himself and then takes all the credit for it. And then so she quits because she's like, I can't work with this dude, you know, and then she tries to work on her own. And literally people are like, you're not a guy. Everybody says this thing where they go, we love you, but my associates, you know, they won't go for it. My partner won't go for it. I'm sorry, my partner won't go for it. And she's like, everybody's making up a partner just to blow me off, you know. And then she does get the meeting from Diane Weiss, but when she goes on the meeting, the guy's like, I like this stuff, but like, you know, if it's just you, like, I thought I was meeting a dude. And she's like, oh, well, this firm is a guy. It is guys. Well, it's not. It's me and a guy. And they're like, who? And then she just makes up this name, Cuddy.
You know what? I also.
And then he's like, okay.
Sorry, Brady. Sorry to cut you off, but I'm so happy this happens because I've been watching all the white scammer television on Netflix and Hulu. Like, what is it? Was it the one about that?
Inventing Anna.
Yeah, Inventing Anna, the scammer who took money from people, the swindler who swindled people, the dropout who swindled a bunch of people. And the big thing about, to me, the dropout and Inventing Anna is that these two white ladies had no discernible skill. Like, Inventing Anna, she just was a white lady who never showed no business plan. She was just like, give me money. And they just like did it. She ain't even pretend. And like, you know what? I want to show.
Well, they did pretend.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, well, she did pretend. My thing is, I like that this movie existed because I'm like, yo, it shows to me, maybe after watching those, it shows what people of color, black people in particular, let me be more direct, black people have to do to get ahead. It's like, we got a scam, but we scam into for the betterment of things we already should have gotten and have earned. You know what I mean? Whereas I'm like, if it's an Anna, it's just a white girl who's like, I want to be rich. Like, the dropout is like, I want to be important. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, just random weird shit.
I was going to say, to that point, it's nice that, because, you know, so many movies are made with black people, like, fast talking, basically, like, talking their way in and out of situations. But this felt nice that it was, like, in the realm of business and not just, like, a cop or a crook, you know, or a thief. Like, it was kind of cool to have it be like a businesswoman doing what white people do all the time, even though it's like the images of like the black people are the fast talkers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Cause there, I was just telling y'all about the, that Richard Pryor movie where it's like a criminal pretending to be a doctor. Like, that's always, you know, Blue Streak, a criminal pretending to be a cop. Like, that's, it's it's the only way a black person's even going to get the job to begin with is if they are fully a criminal and like don't even have the qualifications to even be in the door. Like, it's like, wow, okay.
No, 100%. I mean, it's so funny because even as we go through this movie, it's weird because, you know, up until Cuddy gets there, we kind of see Whoopi like kind of really struggling to figure out her footing. And the thing that sucks is that, you know, I use a personal example, like Brian and James, you probably heard me say this before, but like, even at a, I'm not rich enough to say the company's name, but even at a comedy company.
Interesting.
Not what you think it
brings. A comedy company.
No, a comedy company.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not what I'm thinking, really?
No, it's like a place where like, you know, comedy is very important to them, you know?
Yeah, like, oh, and it, like a just, it's an integral.
A hub of sorts.
It's central to their television brand. You know what I mean? It's like,
the comedy is, so you're saying the comedy is central to this
The comedy
network?
Is central to that network, is what
okay,
I'm saying.
So even at a, even but
it's
at,
a but, oh, so it's a network.
Yeah,
okay.
Even at a comedy, so even at a Comedy Central network, like, whoa, a Comedy Central network.
Oh, no, no. I'm saying at a network where comedy is central to it, James, is what I'm like, saying.
Yeah, no, a Comedy Central network.
I mean, I don't like the way you're phrasing it, but I'm saying even at a company like that, for instance, is like, I'm a person who has done sketch, directed sketch since I was like 22. And I had an assistant who was under me, who was a lovely human being, and I'm still friends with to this day. Did half of what I did and got a directing like job at this company, like a staff job, while doing half the work, where I, a person with years of experience, had to shadow another white man who was very lovely as well. But it's like the other dude did half the work and didn't have to do any of that, you know, which is a very fascinating thing. But that's just an experience I had as a person in comedy who works for a Comedy Central network. You know what I'm saying?
Comedy Central Network.
Yeah, yeah. A network where comedy is central to the type of TV they do.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Wow.
Well,
I ain't saying nothing. I'm just talking in broad strokes. That's all. You know,
I don't think you said anything wrong.
Thank you, James.
I don't think you said a single wrong thing. I don't think I listen. You I listen, if you had $12 in the bank, you'd be able to say that. I don't think you got to be rich to be able to say some stuff like where you felt like you were slighted by somewhere.
Thank
all
you.
Right, that's it. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah. Anyway, we get to the point where she invents this guy, and then it's funny because like she immediately, she goes to a bank, a woman's bank. She has capital to put up because we see this like she's renting. She owns a six unit building because her dad bought it a long time ago and invested in it, and it worked out for him, and you know, passed it on to her. So she uses that as collateral to get this huge loan to start this company. And the people, the women who live inside the unit is really, they're fun. And I wish we saw more of them. I felt like I wanted more of them in this movie.
Oh yeah, we don't see them at all, really.
You know,
yeah.
We see them a few times, but like not that often. One is, I assume, a trans woman. I could be assuming wrong, but I think that's what the character was supposed to be.
I thought so too. Right? I thought so as well.
Which I thought was cool. Especially because that's how we eventually get the prosthetics for her to become a fake man. That scene was really great. That scene where they were like, okay, so what are we doing? He's like, okay, I need to be a business person, you know, needs to be sophisticated, dignified. And she's like, okay. And then the Diane Weiss is like, oh no. And she's like, also needs to be old and a man. And he's like, all right, now we're getting interesting. And then Diane Weiss is like, also, she needs to be white. And then and the person's like, all right, well, then you need a miracle. Yeah. I don't know what you like. What are you?
Also, did Whoopi Goldberg as a white man look like Marlon Brando to anybody else?
I think they comment on that. I think they...
Oh, do they?
Yeah, I think there's a line like that after she leaves the cab, where he was like, I thought I had like Brando or something. There's like some line that's like that. But I was actually saw not Brando, but hold on. I saw a couple different people and I have to look them up so that I can get their names right. I'm going to just Google old white.
Is it weird? While you look that up, James, is it weird that I really wanted her to talk to like a black person at some point in this movie?
No, it's not weird at all.
I love that one of her best friends was a drag queen. I thought that was really cool. And you know, for 1996, you know, really progressive, but I'm like, she couldn't talk to like nobody. Like, it's hard because I feel like, you know, as black people, like even what we're doing, it is sometimes where I need to talk to y'all because shit is so stressful and I can't tell if it's race related or not. Like, I can't tell if people are talking to me because I'm black and like if my reaction to this, like how to react sometimes in business is like, you know, I can't yell like a white dude can yell, which is a straight up thing. And so for me, watching Whoopi go through this movie and go through these pitfalls of, yes, being a woman, but it's so crazy because I know it's 10 times harder being a black woman, and seeing her be able to relate to nobody. Like, is there a Bechdel test for if two black characters can talk to each other in a movie? You know what I mean? Like where nobody? She went through this whole movie by herself. Like, and again, I understand Diane was there, but she was buying this lady gifts and shit. But she was alone, yo. She ain't talked to her dad because he passed away. She ain't have a sister. She ain't have a goddamn beautician. She ain't have, like, a homeboy who live up the hall. It was like, it was her. You know what I mean? And like, ugh.
Okay, so I saw a little James Caan.
Okay, I get that.
Saw a little James Caan. And then there's one more actor, and I have to find.
But yeah, man, that really hurt. I was like, there has to be a term of where black characters don't talk in the movie. I feel like we got to get to that point. Let's invent that. Y'all, Bray, you go. I'm going to look this up. There's got to be something.
Yeah, I mean, there's not.
And I got a little Warren Beatty.
Oh.
Got a little Warren Beatty.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Those are the two people I saw. People that I saw when she was stalled up as Cuddy. Little James Caan, little Warren Beatty.
Got it.
I just want to say that a couple years ago, there was a site that just interviewed a bunch of other, I think specifically women, but there also might have been like people of different sexual orientations as well and people of different gender identifiers, but I think not men. And like, what would their test be? Because they were like, the Bechdel test is not perfect. You know, it does not encompass blah, 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 blah. And so like they interviewed people like, it's like, what would I don't know how to even Google this, but I know that someone somewhere listening to this probably has heard this or saw it. But like, it's like, what's Ava DuVernay's test? And what's, you know, like that. Like, they interviewed a bunch of people like that.
If I had a Bechdel test, I would call it the Kiki. Because black people Kiki in chat. And if there's no two black people in the movie, no Kiki can happen. And in this movie, there's no Kiki.
Oh, that's right. I like that. The woman who was like in lingerie for half the film. That actress is...
BB Newirth.
She's in Jumanji.
Yes.
Oh, she's the mom in Jumanji.
Yes, BB Newirth.
Yo, what was she in this? Was she a prostitute in this movie? Like, I've never understood.
No, she just was... No. She just was another woman in business, and she fell... You know, she just fell madly in love with Cuddy.
Well, no. Her whole... The idea of her character, she says this to Whoopi. She was like, look, women aren't respected here, but... men do want to sleep with you, and that's our power. Oh, and so right. She was basically telling Whoopi, like, if you want to get ahead, you have to sleep with guys to get ahead. So she just,
but ain't that prostitution?
Technically, no. Not if you do it without a specific, like, I'm doing this so in exchange for money.
Because this is my thing. When she thought Whoopi was the white dude, she showed up and got naked off break. And to me, if Whoopi would have been a dude and hooked up with her, and then she's like, all right, cool, give me a job, that feels like prostitution.
I mean, yes. And I feel like in essence, it is. And in legality, it's not.
Because I know a couple prostitutes with a how to go. And in Pretty Woman, that was a prostitute with a how to go. This woman, I don't know if she had a how to go. Because when she found out it was Whoopi, she wasn't like, oh, shit, and supported her. She passed out.
Well, she passed out because she
came onto her sexually.
She was catfished by Whoopi.
She didn't even know what Whoopi looked like. She just showed up in the room.
That's what being catfished is. So it was revealed to her that this person who she.
She was catfish, actually.
A catfish.
Don't say no.
Whoopi was as Cuddy. Whoopi pretended to be Cuddy and sent her gifts.
Oh, I forgot about the gifts. Like, I forgot about the gifts.
Sent her notes. You're right. It was like, I want to meet you. And
yeah. Right. And did stuff like this. When she was on the phone with her, she was like, oh, Cuddy just walked in. Like, she was like playing games.
She did it. Intentionally, because she didn't like her
at all.
Right. And so she was literally messing with her head.
You're right. That's
which was great. I liked that stuff. I feel like we didn't get enough like come up moments. You know what I mean? In that regard, like we got it mostly with her. I feel like Tim Daly's character, even though at the end he has to like grovel and like doesn't get a job. Like, I still feel like he gets off really light for how disgusting he is in the most of this movie. And I wanted there to be more kind of like in your face. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would rather have him like lost his job. Like, I would rather have him like had lost his job. And at the point, like, I know that's just not what the movie is, but whatever. I'm just saying, like, there is stuff.
But it could be. Why can't it be? Why can't he lose his job, Bray? He wasn't good. Literally, I think they made a point every time they showed him in office, he was playing like, a computer game, which was a literal rat race, and he was losing. I don't know if you guys noticed that every time he was losing, every time they cut back to the screen, and I'm like, yo, this dude is we've acknowledged he is terrible at his job. You know, he's not good as a black woman. Let him get fired. Let's have a trading places. Let him and his boss get kicked to the curb, and now they broke and they need a job. You know what I mean? And she like, nah.
Well, he is trying to like we don't see the scene. But I do think that him interviewing for the job with her, I think that was implying that he did lose his job. But I agree. Like, I feel like we should have seen, we should have seen that. And B, again, this goes back to Diane Weiss being the last image of this movie. They could have done something where Whoopi, like, is like, you know what? I will bring you on, you know, and she like takes him to like the middle of the room in her now big office with like other people and then does something that like to embarrass him in front, like, you know, like whatever it is. But like she does some like big thing to stick it to him one last time and then kicks him out the building. Like that would have been great.
Hit him with the jazz. OK, get the guards. Hold him by 2 inches, toss his ass out the front.
Make him a janitor, or like, not to demean janitors, but I'm just saying, like, to demean him, like, make him something that he wouldn't want to be. You know what I mean? And like, yeah, you could work your way up.
Yeah, I mean, literally put him in the position that Diane Weiss was in. Like, great, there's your desk. You know, it's like one right. little desk.
Become
right.
a secretary. Yeah, that, exactly. Be a secretary. Have them like, and then have all the women who work there be like, hey, toots, like, you know, whatever. Like, that would have been great.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
They wanted her to do the thing of like, my associate wouldn't like it, which I like get from a writing standpoint, but like they could have had him, that she could have literally said, and there you go, there's your desk, there you go, baby. And like smacked him on the butt or whatever it was that he was doing to her. It's fine.
I mean, also I think you can, even if they wanted to be like, if like, say she wanted to pull a Michelle Obama, like, you know, they go low, we go high. I'm like, okay, cool. Demote him a little bit, or you know what? Give him the job he had. Like when she was like coaching him, and put his desk right outside her office, so that way every time she go in the office, she gotta walk past that nigga and throw her coat on the desk. Like Devil Wears Prada, she gotta just throw the coat down and be like, "Go put this up." Well, you know, just like make it a little like. But this is the thing, y'all. This is the thing, and so far it's looking like Steven Spielberg can do it. I'm not sure how many other white dudes can do it. You know, but it's looking like this movie is missing some notes, because as a brother who has felt slighted by the Caucasian man every now and then, I know we would have had some fun with this, Joe. And I feel like they did not let Whoopi Goldberg have fun. I think she could have been a little cocky, and I'm not saying she had to like tell jokes, because it feels like this is a movie where she wanted to be taken serious. So maybe she didn't need a bunch of jokes, but it's like you didn't give the character the enjoyment, so much so that at one point when she goes, all they cared about was Cuddy. No one cared about me. All they cared about Cuddy. I thought we were going to have a montage before then of her like, yeah, you saw her like getting money and giving gifts to like Diane, but we didn't see Whoopi's montage of living the life. We didn't see Whoopi get like the new mink coat or like Whoopi.
Right, riding high.
Yeah, like I agree with you, Bray. It's like I wanted to see, man, listen, if she would have had a black friend, they would have went out on a night of town and like had a big dinner or something. I don't know, like. They Disneyed us. Everybody was dead. The dad was dead. Disneyed like the mom us. Was dead. It was like all the parents were dead.
Everybody was like, dead.
Fucking.
That's what it means to be Disneyed.
Because you know in Disney the mom always dies, except for like now the mom, like they make a point for the mom to be alive, but then the dad dies. So like they just reversed it so the person can't have two living parents. Man. What else is it? I'm so annoyed.
That's okay. I literally keep going to the last shot of the movie, so so I don't know what else there is to talk about. But there's
the hijinks of her dress finally dressing up as Cuddy and running around the hotel and everybody chasing her.
Did anybody else think that took too long to even happen? Like I thought she was going to do it sooner.
Same. I thought she was going to see him sooner too.
Because they had the setup was there.
It definitely took too long.
She had gone to the club with her friend, you know, a few times went to the club and it was like, and was in the back in the dressing room. I was like, great, they're going to, oh, right. Because he dressed her for like other events, like just to like, for like, oh, I just want to be a business. I want to look like I can't look too hot. I want to look too, you know. So that's what they were trying to establish, that there's precedence for it before doing it. I just thought they were going to do it right there.
They should have done it earlier. I mean, like, it's fun to do that, obviously. And we didn't get that much of it.
We already saw him in full Barbra Streisand regalia several times. Like, it was like, we know. Like, we know that they're capable of this, you know?
Yeah. 100%.
Right.
Guys.
The golf thing I didn't even understand. How did she get that, I guess, famous golf player who I don't know?
But also, was it Was the whole point of that scene?
Yeah, no idea. No idea. He was just there.
But was the point of that scene that, like, she knew they weren't going to let her play golf? So that's why she, like...
She also couldn't play golf. She also couldn't play. Like, she wasn't. She didn't know how.
Yeah, but they have that weird scene where she's buying a golf club and, like, hits the ball so hard that it just, like, breaks, shatters the window. And then she's like, I'll take this one. But then it's just another famous golfer there who has to have his own club. So what was she buying the clubs for?
It's interesting because I'm like...
It kind of didn't make any sense.
We know it's even more messed up, Bray. They didn't even have her break the glass ceiling. They had her break a glass window. So she ain't even at the top level. You know what I'm saying? That's how they did this black woman.
No, she... Gerard, she did. She literally
no,
broke
but it wasn't
the
a
ceiling,
ceiling James. It was just a window.
At the end of the movie, she fully broke the
It was a window.
Stop, stop, stop.
In the Gerard, clearest no, no, way no. possible, she fully shatters. The glass ceiling, all those white men that were standing up and clapping for her were just covered in shards from the
and
glass
You know my problem with that scene, James?
Did you see the trophy they gave her? That big-ass trophy. She took that. She threw it into the ceiling. It shattered. They were all bloody.
Let me tell you the problem with that scene, James, is they weren't going to have to clean it up. It was going to be them black dudes who was in the background who started to clap, who still was in there clapping when she left. She didn't even say, hey, brother. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't even acknowledge that dude. None of them dudes.
her trying to kill him. Why did it need to be this?
That's
dramatic?
A hijinks.
Also made no sense. I'm telling. That's what I'm saying. It literally seemed like hijinks that make sense. Them chasing him all over the thing. You know, even the, for as weird as it was like, yep, this makes sense. And then there's just a string of like trying to kill him, her doing press conferences with him not being dead or not dead, and then.
That is from the, I guess it's from the novel and the...
Okay. Because when they just let her go, it's so weird. They just let her go? It made no sense.
Well, they let her go because he was alive. Like, the idea was that he was still alive because a picture was taken with the newspaper, even though it was photoshopped online, which I kind of enjoyed that. Like, it would be so early that a Photoshop, people were like, they don't know what Photoshop is.
Yeah.
You know, it's 1996.
They also lock her up and he's not a real person. Like, there's no...
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no records of him. Like, how did they... If they thought somebody actually died, don't they have to look up somebody's birth certificate? Like, there has to be some sort of registry.
What's so crazy about that is I just watched another doc. How did I forget this one? It's on another white scammer. This white boy who started a cryptocurrency exchange site, and people think he faked his own death because basically the business was going out of, his business was going under, and he owed people to like people who traded over $215 million. But then when he died, his wife, his partner was like, he was the only one with the passwords. So they can't give any of the money back. And so people were literally bringing it up like, yo, where's his death certificate? Where's the body at? But because he died overseas, there was some weird thing where Canada couldn't get all the shit. So like this, like the people, even today, this happened in like 2019, 2020, the people who he still owes $1 million can't do it because they can't like prove he's dead. Even though the doctor's like, I mean, he got sick, but like, I mean, he ain't die in front of me.
I'm not saying it's not.
I just thought that they were going to be, it would have been more logical if they were coming to get her for like being fraudulent all this time.
It just feels like if they were going to actually investigate this murder of a man that didn't exist, that they would figure something out, but they figured nothing out.
Nothing.
And I love that Tim Daly's character figures it out, is the only one who figures it out and then doesn't tell anyone, which is smart. Because then he can use this fake person to his own gain, which I liked that. I was like, that's a good twist. The arrest beat was weird. Because then she just gets out of jail and then immediately is like, I'm depressed. I'm not doing anything. And it was like, why? And it was like, it took Diane Weiss coming back for her to be like, I can become Cuddy again. It's like, that's the most obvious thing. It's like, yeah, duh. You literally did it. Like, And people now know what Cuddy looks like, so you could just put on that prosthetics again and then come out and do literally anything.
Yeah. The one thing that I think about in that moment is she did need Diane Weiss to like tell her literally, but I do think what was also happening there was that moment of her actually realizing like, holy shit, like I accomplished so much. Like this is still me, you know, like I think that was her putting the things together of like, hold on, I just was inducted into this prestigious thing. You know what I mean? Like it was like her putting those bits together, and I was trying to divorce it from her being like, I can dress up again. But I thought it was like more her going, wow, look at what I've done. And now I'm going to take that or whatever, you know.
To your point, Jorah, this is somewhat of a non sequitur. The old French movie of this film, the guy had a wife and a kid who both turn against him for this fake person. They could have easily had Whoopi with the family, but they didn't, which is both feels racist because they didn't want more black people in the movie. And I truly mean that. And sexist because they perpetuated the stereotype of the hardworking woman in business who like has no family.
Yeah.
I feel like they even mentioned it early on. It's like, what do they have? It's like, we have a career. Like, and then Whoopi has to respond to it. Man.
You have a career, but you don't have a man. And it's like, you don't ever say that to men. Then why can men have a career?
Exactly. Listen, bro.
All of that. Yeah. So
this movie gets, you know, three racisms and two sexisms.
I don't know what that rating is, but sure.
I don't either. But it bothered me so much because I'm like, again, like, you know, thinking about this movie is really hard because it truly bothers me that she does not speak to another black person in this whole movie. Like, I don't understand how it happens. I don't understand that, like, the only black, and what's so crazy is that when she talks to the black dude from The Wire, when he lets her in the room, she don't talk back. Like, he's like, and he says that weird, creepy thing of like,
she doesn't tip him. I thought that was so weird. They have that little moment of her definitely not tipping him. And I was like, what?
Yeah. And then he takes the sign off the door. Like, I know what you're about to do.
Was that supposed to be that she didn't know that she was supposed to tip him, or she was so preoccupied with having run away from people?
I think it was her being so preoccupied. But still, it was just like, just give him a doubt. Like,
that black lady would have remembered. She would have, this is my thing. See what I'm talking about? Little subtleties, okay? She'd have been like, hey, brother, this $200 is on me. You know what I'm saying? She would have did that because she wouldn't have forgot. I refuse to believe she would have got. That's all I got to say about this movie. Because I'm just like, we needed more Kiki in. That's it. There was no
Here's
Kiki
my
in.
Last thought. My last thought is this, okay? Because you know what? Because now that I think about it, Jorah's right. She didn't shatter the glass ceiling, okay? She didn't get to shatter the glass ceiling. And I just feel like at the end, okay, when she's there, she's like giving a speech, you know, and she starts taking off the gloves, you know, and she's like, you know, but women, you know, we need to shatter the glass ceiling. And then we just hear a voice, I think I can help you with that. And then the cut across the room, it's a black dude serving something. It's another black dude serving something else. But then behind all those them is a dude dressed up. It's Steel. There it is. Boom. It's Steel. He's in the back. He's like, I can help you with that. And then he holds up his hammer, tosses the hammer to her. She takes the hammer and she goes, thank you, Steel. And then she shoots. she shoots at the ceiling. Then the glass ceiling shatters. And he's like, I'm also going to liberate all these black people that's here serving drinks. And then he gives all of them weapons.
Is he Killmonger now?
There's an uprising. There's an uprising, John, in the club. You
John,
know what I mean?
Would love some of your... Hey, Bray, I can't tell your computer phone, Bray. I feel like you're not saying nothing to stop him.
They look around at all the white people, right, and they like, oh, you scared now? Wait, you scared now?
This is taking a turn for the worse.
Okay, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not it helps the cause of more leading Black actors in Hollywood. If we feel like the film fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. Somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If it didn't help the cause at all, we decide not to give it anything. So on the count of three, we'll lift up our ratings for the associate.
Ooh.
Three, two, one.
Yep. Yep. So here's the thing. I'm giving my rating with a caveat.
James gave a fist.
I think
James
this movie
gave
deserves
a black fist.
Yes.
And me and John gave two palms.
I'm gonna say this, and it's with a caveat, because I'm gonna just say that I think this movie deserves three palms. Okay, I genuinely do, and I thought y'all was gonna give it palms. The reason I gave it a fist is I gotta put it up for Whoopi in a movie that's trying to say as much as this movie was trying to say. I know that this movie didn't make any money, and not a lot of I'm sure not a lot of people saw it as a, you know, that just is how that works, but I just think that, like, what this movie was trying to do and having Whoopi at the center, and for it coming out when it came out, you know, I think that, like, you know, it's probably on marketing that it didn't do well. It's probably on, you know what I mean? Like, that, like, they should have put this movie out, you know? So that's why I gave it a fist. I felt like I, you know, for those reasons, gave it a fist.
Okay. I mean, I gave it a palm because, you know, Whoopi was already a star. By this point, a couple times over, Sister Act 2, Lion King, you know, all her 80s movies, Color Purple, Ghost. So it's like this movie, you know.
Okay, I know her career.
Didn't really do much for her. Not that many people saw it. It was a nice message, but it's not about whether or not I like the movie. You know, it's tough. It's tough to have these movies where it's like one black lead and then everybody else in the film is white, you know? So it's hard, you know? And then it's just like, well, that's Whoopi, and Whoopi, you know, gets to play those roles and then nobody else does. So any movie with a black lead that isn't completely detrimental helps. I don't think people necessarily looked at this movie and went, Whoopi is the reason this movie didn't do well. You know what I mean? So
yeah. And I gave it a black fist because Whoopi's
black.
You mean
a white palm.
Oh, that's what I meant, a white palm.
All right.
Because she black. And then I was like, and I gave it, and only because, not only because she's black, but because they were trying to deal with, like, I guess it didn't deal with black issues. So I can't say that. It's just because she black and she starred in the movie.
Cool. Yeah, makes sense. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. You can find us at Blackman Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackmanPodcast.com is our website. We have a link there to our Indiegogo campaign. We are raising funds for our short film called The Threshold, about three black men who are on vacation. They realize that the house they are staying in is killing white people, white women specifically. So if you can donate to that, that would be great. Anything at all will help, really help us out. We're doing pretty well, but you know, it's like,
yeah, we're at 41%, 41%.
Hey,
we have a defunct Patreon. We don't do any more new episodes, but there are a year's worth of episodes on there. So if you subscribe to that, you can listen to those and then unsubscribe whenever you want. And you can rate and review us on iTunes. If you give us 5 stars, we'll read your reviews on the air. I'll do this one. Loyal listener, Packer fan 12. Been listening to this pod since Beverly Hills Cop. Love every single bit. The steel bit can retire, though. Hope this lasts for another 5 years.
Wow. You know, here's the thing. Hold on. Who is this?
This is Packer fan 12.
Who is this? Packer fan 12?
No. He loves every single bit. Off. He just said
no,
the steel
he
bit
loves
can
everything.
Him.
He just.
You can fuck off.
No, but he loves.
He says, hope
okay,
this
cool.
lasts.
Continue. Keep reading. Thank you for the 5 stars.
Hope
fuck
this
off.
Lasts for another 5 years. Quick suggestion, an oldie, Truck Turner. It's an Isaac Hayes being a cool dude and Ambulance. Yahya Abdul-Mateen is actually co-lead and has great chemistry with Jake G. Y'all are goats. Thanks.
What's it
for
called?
Ambulance. You know, Ambulance, the Michael Bay movie. But it says L.A. is in caps, so I like calling it Ambulance.
Right? No, don't do that.
I think it's good.
But
I don't
also
know.
Isn't Jake Gyllenhaal the lead?
He says it's co-leads. I mean, they're both in the trailer. Okay. They're brothers, right? Or something like that, or whatever the heck they are.
I think they actually are like stepbrothers or something.
Yeah, I think that's what they said.
Brothers.
They're happy and they're singing.
And then one's colored. Da, da,
da, da. High five.
Give me a
You can follow me at John Braylock, Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. I'm sure Packer 12 doesn't, but you can follow me. James Third Comedy.
James, he just didn't like that one bit.
He just saying
bit.
It. He didn't.
He likes all the other
No, he didn't
bits.
Even say, he, it's not that he doesn't like it. He's
I've
just
been doing it for a year.
Because you like to change up your bits.
That's not A.
You like to change your bits. So I feel like he's just saying, hey, James.
I can't keep changing my bit every...
You started the bit changing. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jerome Milligan.
All right, I'll see you next week. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever Dog.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!